We've been in a series on prayer from the beginning of the year. This one thing, okay? And today our prayer and the altar of incense, is that is our thought for today. And that is the piece of furniture we showed you earlier. And it has significance. It points to Jesus, our intercessor. And he is our high priest. And I want to read the text today, if we can, Exodus chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. And I believe it should be up there, Exodus chapter 30. You shall make an altar on which it, you shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length and a cubit its width. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horn shall be one of one piece with it. And you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it under the molding on both sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put it before the veil, that is, before the ark of the testimony, the ark of the covenant, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Listen, when I read that, I thought the Lord has set up a pattern for them to meet with him. And he promises right here, I will meet you there. Aaron, verse 7, shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps, and he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, morning and evening, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. So God is already looking forward to what we're doing today in prayer. You shall not offer strange incense on it. This is serious business. Anybody serve the Lord long enough to know that he means business? You don't mess with the holy things of God. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon his horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. It is a holy thing. I showed you the video of the outer court, the whole tabernacle, the holy place where the priest would minister, and then the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where God's presence rested upon the mercy seat. Is anybody glad God has poured out his blood for us? Jesus gave us his own blood, and the mercy was given because he made a way for us. So the whole tabernacle, to me, is a model of prayer. And that's what I want to just kind of go through briefly with you, and then I want us to come to the altar to... At the end, this is my objective. I want you to come to the altar as a progression toward the presence of the Lord. Many God's people do not know how to get in the presence of the Lord. And the reason we have worship with Chrissy and the worship team, the reason is so that we can prepare the way for the Word of God. It is powerful presence of the Lord that comes and prepares our heart to be with the Lord. And the Word of God to sink into our hearts that are softened from the worship. And so it is as we progress through the tabernacle. The gate is the place of thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter his courts with praise. So the courtyard is the place of praise. And listen, when you come from that from the gate, the Israelites would come. This is the only place, the courtyard, where everybody's welcome. How many know Jesus died for everybody? Everybody's welcome there. All the Israelites could come there and bring all their sacrifice to be sacrificed unto the Lord for forgiveness and taking care of some of the issues that they were dealing with. The courtyard is a place of praise. They were praising God because they have a mediator between God and man. The priest would come and take care of the issue they would have to bring. It cost them something. They would have to bring a spotless lamb or a turtle dove or, you know, something of value they'd have to bring. They had to know that there was a price to be paid for sin. Something has to die. The wages of sin is death. Man sinned and death was brought on, right? Are you hearing me? So they'd bring this spotless lamb that cost them, and they would lay their hand on one hand on the head, and the other they would pray, Lord, you know, this little spotless lamb has taken my place. And with the other, the throat was slit, tied to the horns of the altar. Blood was taken out and burned on the altar of sacrifice. That was the big piece of furniture you saw as you came in. Then the priest, who was all bloody, how many know it's a bloody mess there? It's a lot to deal with. And we have churches today that think you can just come on in and not have to worry about confessing sin. How many know there is the place of confession? They're praising God because they have a place. Is anybody glad we have an altar? Boy, we have to have an altar. We have to have a place. We have to have a priest. They couldn't go in any further than that. The priest would then wash his hands at the brazen altar, brazen laver after the altar, the place of confession. The brazen laver was a place of meditation, cleansing by the thinking about what's going on here. He's getting rid of dirt and filth and blood that's all over him. You know, it wasn't the pleasant smell there at all with the blood and all of these things that are going on in the and so we're moving toward the altar of incense, and we're moving toward the presence of the Lord. But you can't even get into the presence of the Lord until you find Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. It's an incredible type of Christ here, in preparation for cleansing, washing by the word. The table of showbread is a place of petition, provision for the presence, the bread of presence. Jesus is the bread of life, John 6, right? He's the bread of heaven. And so for the priests, he would prepare that, and they would eat that bread as they worked for the Lord, served the Lord in the holy place. Israelites could not go in there. They needed a man in the house. Now, I'm not dealing with gender here. I'm dealing with spiritual truth. All of us need a man in this house. And his name is Jesus. Could somebody help me preach this morning? They needed a representative. They needed a priest to go in further for them, to represent them, to do the work of the Lord. And we are now, because of Jesus, now we know we are all priests unto the Lord, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and we all can come boldly to the throne of grace. But at this time, the priests would go in. So he had to wash his hands, he had to wash his feet, he had to take care of that in the place of meditation. And then he went to the table of showbread, where he made sure there was provision. There was provision there. He also took care of the candlesticks, the place of ministry. Amen. Did you know that Jesus calls us the light of the world? First he said, I am the light of the world, because he is the one. How many know Jesus is the light of the world? He's our high priest, and he's not dead. How many know the lights didn't go out? I said they might have went out on Friday, but how many know they came back on Sunday? The resurrection. We believe in a resurrection high priest. Listen, they had priests throughout all the priesthood, Aaron being the number one, first one, and his sons, right? Aaron had five sons, two of them we'll talk about today because they didn't do right. And I'll talk about it because I think we have a lot of places in our culture that are offering strange fires on the altar. And how many know it costs you to offer strange fire? But Aaron, with the priesthood, he had sons and they became priests. And so there was criteria to be priests. You had to come from the right tribe. You had to be a part of the right people. And God used them to do the ministry. And we are people of the light. We are the light of the world. Amen? So we got to keep the candlesticks lit. You know, there's a lot of churches that allow the light to go out. There's some believers here that allow the light to go out of your heart, in your own spirit. But listen, it's our personal privilege to know Jesus. I said it's our personal privilege to know Jesus. You're as close to Jesus today as you want to be. And if the light goes out, you can blame pastor, you can blame everybody else. If the light goes out, how many know you got to keep that wick trimmed and the oil inside? How many know it's your responsibility to be the light of the world? If Jesus is on the inside, how many know it'll show on the outside? God wants us holy as he is holy. And then we move into the altar of incense, the place of intercession, where Jesus is our great intercessor. My goodness, I don't know what happens when you get a trial. But when a trial comes, you need to be reminded this morning that Jesus is praying for you. Maybe you don't know where he's at today. He's our high priest. See, priests died. They had to get another priest. Do you understand? Priests died all the time. They had to get another priest. The people of God had to have a priest to represent them to God and God to the people. The priest was very important. Without a priest, man, they are left in their sin in the Old Testament. You understand that? Because once a year on the Day of Atonement, the Yom Kippur, they would come in to there. They take the incense and they bring it into past the veil into the Holy of Holies. Because they could not see God, right? The priest had to, he was in there, put the blood on the mercy seat, but he's in there in the smoke. He's in the smoke. He's bringing the incense before God as a sweet-smelling savor. And that's what prayer is. He's going beyond. He's going into the presence of the Lord on behalf of us. And that's where Jesus is today. He is not dead. He's very much alive. If you don't get nothing out of this lesson, know this. Every piece of the tabernacle speaks of Jesus, our high priest, who is not dead. Because, see, when you had a priest that died, you had to get another one. And to keep the lineage and generations gone. You've seen him say it generation after generation after generation. But how many know Jesus was the last and final high priest? And they have to get another one. They didn't have to get another one. Why didn't they have to get another one? Because he's still alive. I said, he's alive. I think many times church doesn't realize just how alive Jesus is. And if you would get dead to you, how many know you'd be more inclined to be alive to him? The reason you may not be so alive to him is because you're still alive to you. Only one person can live in you. Dead to you, alive to him. Amen? And the light of the gospel will shine through in the place of intercession. You can begin to pray for other people. It's powerful. We have access to God. Now we can boldly come to the throne of grace and make our petitions known because Jesus made the way. Then, of course, the Holy of Holies is the place of worship. And so we enter in and we're desiring to be near God because God is desiring to be near to us. Basically, what's happening is we're trying to get in the presence of the Lord. So I got two different pictures today. I just want to show you in the next 10, 15 minutes. We have the altar of sacrifice, the big altar over here. It's the bronze altar. It's made of bronze. The other is the golden altar, they call it. Altar of incense is overlaid with gold. And so they have some similarities, but I just want to point out the difference because they have some. Their shape is slightly different, but similar. It's, you know, square. Horns on the altar. But one of them, the altar of sacrifice, is the place where death happens, where your place of killing. They kill the sacrifice there on the altar of sacrifice. But the other one is the place of prayer where you kill the will. This is where Jesus, when he went to Gethsemane, said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Amen? It's an altar of prayer. Jesus was praying in the garden. Seeking God, and there is where, that's why a lot of people, you can get saved at the altar of sacrifice. That's where salvation is. Is anybody glad Jesus died so we can have salvation? It's for all people. But when you move in a little further to the altar of incense, now you have a personal responsibility to serve the Lord. You're moving in further, and what you do is you take the fire off the altar of sacrifice, and you use that fire to light the incense on the altar of incense. It's a serious thing because we have to kill the flesh. Amen? The altar of incense, we kill our will. So you can have salvation and have the price paid for you, and yet still people struggle with having their wills die. And it's here at the altar of incense that our will must die. Another thing is both of them are on fire. I brought some fire. I'm not going to set the house on fire today. And I'm not going to burn down Miss Kathy's beautiful little tabernacle here. But it takes fire. It takes fire. And when you add fire to the incense on the altar from off that altar, how many know it matters where the fire comes from? It goes on to say you don't want strange fire. The fire that you get to light the altar of incense has to come from the altar of sacrifice. You cannot use any other fires, any strange fire. Let me burn this thing up. It's about to burn up in here. I'm about to burn something up. How many know something happens when fire happens? When you put fire to the incense, it is now becoming visible. Not only can you see the fire with the smoke, but you can also smell what's going on there. So let it burn a little bit. Let's get this thing good and hot this morning. Is anybody ready to learn something this morning? The fire burns a sacrifice, but the fire from off this altar is taken and brought here to the golden altar. In other words, it takes fire to burn the incense. Let's see. Hey, don't make me walk through the sanctuary and tell you that God's people are now praying. How many know when you start to pray, it becomes evident to people around you? People can know that you're starting to pray. I don't want to set the church on fire. I don't want to blow up everything, but can you see the smoke going up? Well, the smoke right there is in front of the Ark of the Covenant. It's in the curtain. The priest cannot see into the Ark of the Covenant. He can go in there on the one day a year. But then again, he has all that smoke and he still can't see because God told Moses, you cannot see God and live. It's a very holy thing and you can't mess with the holy things of God. So he puts this incense that goes toward it just kind of goes into the presence of the Lord. And the Lord smells that sweet smell and knows that we are dependent upon him. That God's people are calling on him. How many think prayer is important? Absolutely vital to us for our sustaining what we got from off that altar. You need that altar to light this altar. Everybody has to come to the altar of sacrifice. See, Pastor Ron, what are you saying? I'm saying you better watch how you pray. And you better watch where you get the fire from. A lot of people are trying to do ministry today with strange fire. And two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they were sons of Aaron and they were priests. And they offered up strange fire. So there was this incense that was made up. That was told, five different spices put in this incense. And Moses gave the instructions. They made that up and they put that right in the house, right there in front of the curtain, so the Lord's presence could take in the prayers of God's people. Intercession. And so this smell went up to the presence of the Lord, and they were interceding on behalf of the people of God who couldn't get in. How many know it's a powerful thing to learn how to intercede? Intercession is a big part of prayer. And the altar of incense is very important because the fire from this altar was brought in, and God knows it can take fire sometimes to make things burn. Listen, sometimes the only way you're going to learn how to pray is when a fiery trial comes into your life. When everything's going okay and there's no fire, you know, everything's fine. Sometimes a fire comes along. When a fiery trial comes into your life, how many know that's when you really, really learn how to pray? You start praying, not this King James kind of prayer. You start crying out to God like Peter when he was sinking in the water. Lord, help me! That's what I'm calling prayer. True, genuine prayer. Lord, help me. And your children start to act up. How many know? You start really praying. When something happens to your body, you start really, really praying. You pray like you don't care who sees it, who hears it. You're not ashamed anymore. You're not worried. When bad things start to happen, when the Lord brings some fire in your life, your prayer life automatically rises up. I remember I had a guy in my last church who wanted, my sister was in a terrible truck accident. 18-wheeler hit him head on and she was left, her husband got killed, and she was left in a wheelchair. And so this man in my church who had a little, like a Cessna single-engine plane, he wanted to take Pastor to Lake Charles, Louisiana, about 5 hours away. And I love this brother. Ken was his name. God bless you, Ken. He's still alive. I didn't know if I was going to be. But Ken was a very intellectual. I think he put fiber optic all over the world. Man, he's all over. Very genius kind of guy. But you know what they say about a genius? He's a thin line between an idiot and a genius. I believe it. I believe it because I knew him. I love you, Ken. Hope you're listening. But anyway, he had a plane and he wanted me to go. And I didn't have time to get there. And so he wanted to rush me there. I said, okay. And I knew he could fly the plane because he's a pilot, had his license. And the problem was I wasn't sure he put fuel in the airplane. You know, you can be so smart you can forget the main thing. Well, he got me up in the airplane, and we got to about Lafayette. We landed in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I was looking for the airport. But there was no airport. Ken just started taking a nosedive. I'm like, I don't see an airport, brother. Oh, we dying or you're just going to land on the freeway? Oh, he said, no, Pastor, look in that barnyard. It's a dirt runway. I said, that's nothing but a cow pasture. Pow, that's just a trail, buddy. He said, that's where we're going to land. And I mean, we're going down and we, can I tell you how close to the Lord I felt right there? I don't know that there's ever been a time in my life in ministry where I prayed. I mean, when you're facing death, how many know your prayer changes? All of a sudden, people can see what's happening. God can smell it. You know, he knew I was in a bind. Things were burning. I was getting in trouble. And how many know something happens when you pray? How many believe prayer changes things? So that's sometimes what happens is prayer will break through your fleshly desires and help you submit to his will. And the first altar, the brazen altar, everybody had access. But when you get to the second altar, this is the place of intercession, personal relationship with God. You have to, this is part of the discipline of the faith. And many people think after you get saved at the first altar, throw them two altars back up there and leave it if you don't mind. If you get to the first altar, you feel like you're saved and that's all there is to it. I mean, no, there's still more progression to go into. There's still more of living for Jesus. There's some service after you receive Christ at salvation. How many know? Then you have the place of service where you are responsible to pray. And there is a man on the inside who, Jesus, amen? Could somebody give praise for Jesus? And the man on the inside changes everything. The priest carries your concerns to the place that you didn't have access to go on your own. And he went in when you couldn't. And he opened up a new and living way. He is our mediator, our high priest. Because somebody put your hands together and give God praise for Jesus. He saw your need. So you have showbread, you have the provision, the presence of the Lord, you have the bread of his presence, you have the light of his presence. And at the golden altar, we have this prayer of intercession from the Lord, which we should be following suit on. Jesus is ever making intercession for us. We should be praying for others. And there are things we need to learn about the altar. And first was that we had to have the fire to light it up. And a great prayer life comes out of that, right? Whenever you learn to pray, God doesn't give you a book on prayer. A fiery trial come along. That'll teach you. He knows how to get you on your knees. So he sends a fire. Because fire will make you pray. And when fiery trials come, they cause you to get on your knees and pray like you never prayed before. Just lose your job and see how your prayer life changes. You never prayed. You had a job and no problem. Never even thanked the Lord. How many know Thanksgiving is very important? Because that process is always happening. I enter his gates every morning, every evening, every morning, every evening. Pray every morning. Pray every evening. Light the incense in the morning. Light the incense in the evening. How many know it's a continual thing? Praying without ceasing. And you really don't know how thankful it is to have a job till you lose it. Or to have a family member till you lose them. How many know that we never appreciate what we have until we lose it? Then our prayer life changes. And so, we lose something, we start getting in trouble, we call on the Lord. The Bible says, it was good for me that I was afflicted. You see, that the trouble came my way. I had no help. It was good for me that I was on my own because God put me in a position where I have to call on him like never before. Maybe you've heard of the refiner's fire. Amen. It becomes a desire of yours to be refined by the Lord, refueled by the Lord. Amen. And so God's about to set some of you on fire so you can learn to pray and trust the Lord. Light it up. My light went out. I'm going to light it up again. Some of you need me to light it up again. I'm going to light it up so you just, I'm going to light the whole thing up. It's going to burn this time. You got to see this because it's more than just a silly illustration. It's got to have a lot of fire. And the fire can't come from just anywhere. Can't be just any old strange fire. Come on, burn it up. Let it see. Let everybody see what's happening in your life. So, be affected by the smoke. You got to be affected. The trials will affect you. That's why James says, rejoice when you go through fiery trials. Peter said, hey, you got struggled for a little while, but it'll be all right. There's a far more weight, Paul says, of glory if you'll just have these light afflictions, but a little while, temporarily. I'm going to impact things through my prayers. Amen? My prayer life is going to start rising up to the Lord. The Lord's going to smell what's going on. If the Lord's not smelling anything, you're not doing anything. Are you hearing me? And if you don't smell sweet-smelling savor, then he might be smelling the stench of everything else. Not in that culture, man, there's sheep, there's goats, there's just all kinds of animal life. And so we need a fresh smell. We need God to smell. I mean, there's some churches that have a stench because there's nobody praying. They're going through religious activity. There's really nothing else going on. They're just going through the motions. You know, communion today was not just another traditional ritual. It can't be. We can never, Oak Grove, listen, we can never allow communion to be another ritual. That's Phariseeism. That's just religious talk. So we got to keep calling on the Lord. God said, I can smell it. It's in the atmosphere. It's coming up to me, into my presence. Keep on praying. Just step up and pray, and God will receive what you have. You're priest unto the Lord. And it's important. This is maybe a way to do it. You got this altar, so you take the fire off this altar, and you bring it to this altar. And so this is maybe how you do it. Lord, I need a woman, but I don't need a woman to come from a strange fire. I don't need a woman as my spouse to come from a strange place. I want a woman that I want to marry that comes from the altar of sacrifice. How many know there's a different prayer right there? You don't just need any old spouse. How many know you need a godly person? If you get a strange fire, if you put strange fire on the altar of your prayers, then you're going to face death. A lot of people are facing some casualties and some problems because they didn't get the right fire from the right place to put it on the right altar. It's important that you get this, friends. You can't just go through life. It talks about strange fires. It's strange fires. It deals with relationships, strange relationships, strange people, strange places. When you pray, it ought to change you. Lord, help us know that prayer changes things. It also changes people. In Leviticus 10, 1 through 7, Nadab and Abihu, their two sons, they took the censer and put it on fire, and they put incense on it, and they offered strange fire before God, which he commanded them not to do. The command was simple. You read it in Exodus, take the fire from this altar and put it on this altar, right? But they didn't obey God. And therefore, God is serious about it. And we see some things happening in our day. Listen, there's some things happening in our churches today. Y'all don't have to help me preach, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there's some strange fires offered in the name of the Lord. There's a whole lot of things going on out there. Anything goes, anything goes. And they're bringing it in the Lord's house, and they're losing respect for God's house. We've lost our fear of God. I don't care if you help me preach. I'm going to preach it anyway. There's people coming to God's house looking like a hoochie mama. They are transdress, cross-dress, undress. How many know they're coming all kinds of ways? And they have no respect for the things of God or the house of God. And how many know the Lord's going to speak to it? Listen, if you offer strange fires in the presence of the Lord, you will pay a price. And Nadab and Abihu, listen, they are sons of Aaron. We read it, but did we really feel it? God's saying, I'm not playing with you. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They died before the Lord. You say, Pastor, you know, you shouldn't preach like that. Can I tell you, I can't help. I might save somebody's life today. We need the preaching. We need somebody to tell the truth. You can't just come in any way you want to. You got to offer up a sweet smell. You got to see something happening that will change people's life. Can't just offer any strange fire. Can't preach any strange doctrine. You got to preach the unadulterated word of truth or it will devour you. So God says, I'm not playing with you. Moses and Aaron said, this is the word. And Aaron, the Bible says, held his peace. So I don't know if you get that because it's not your children. Two of his sons just died in the presence of the Lord. His two sons died in the presence of the Lord. And God said, hey, don't you grieve over it. Don't cop an attitude about it. They didn't do it right, and I took care of it, and you don't open your mouth about it. Listen, I've been pastoring long enough to know. I've seen God. How detrimental. Because my heart is compassionate. I want to help. I want to help people. I want to reach out. But how many know after you help and help and help and help, and they still do stupid things like, anybody ever have to do that for your children? You help them and you help them and you help them. They still don't listen. How many know God's going to take care? I learned, get out of the way. Because God's about to have his turn. And when God sends judgment, I don't think anybody's hearing me today. When God sends judgment, it's going to take some serious. And he said, all the Israelites can grieve, but Aaron, don't you grieve. Don't rend your clothes. Don't cover your head. You just stand there because I told those boys not to do that. And they did it anyway. I don't think y'all are helping me preach today, but that's all right. Their cousins came in and got those two boys, brought them out of the presence of the Lord, just like Ananias and Sapphira. So if you're thinking this morning, well, Pastor Ron, that's an Old Testament kind of thing. That's the Old Testament. Well, how about you go to the New Testament? They lied to the Holy Ghost, and how many of the Holy Ghost come in and brought them out? Well, I'm glad the smoke is coming in. I'm starting to feel this. Woo! I'm feeling it. People would pass by. Listen, we've lost the fear of God. Really, really. Reverence of God has gone out the door. People used to pass by church cussing up a storm. When they get next to the church, they just shut up. Shh. We're in front of the church. How many remember that day? Maybe at work, and somebody be cussing, and you're a Christian. They knew you were a Christian. They say, oh, I'm sorry. How many know that day is far gone? They're coming into the house of God today. Irreverent. No respect. People would just, I tell you, they come all kinds of ways. And when you come in here, how many know you have to learn how to be respectful? You know, you say, Pastor Ron, you're a little old school. Yes, yes, it is true. And I need some old school people to help me preach this today. You can't just do anything you want. This is not the social club. This is not just a hangout. I'm glad you're here, but how many know God has respect in this house? You don't just come in anyway. Flippantly come in and flippantly go out. Do what you want, when you want. How many know at salvation you came in there, but when you get here, how many know it's a different story? It's time to grow up and be God's people, God's priest. And then put off those things and start learning how to get the word of God in you. Stop copping an attitude all the time and uncover your head, he said, as a sign. Don't cover your head as a sign of grieving, nor render your clothes. God said, I will take you too. Go ahead and defend that kind of stuff. God said, I'll take you out too. Does anybody believe God's serious about this? And yet we're debating all kinds of stuff in the church today. Can we drink? How worldly can we be? I'll tell you what, I hope the Assemblies of God stands in there and hold and toes the line and stays straight on the straight and narrow. Because listen, there's a lot of pressure to bring down the standard. It's time for us to raise a holiness standard again in the house of the Lord. But it's happening all over the place. And they call me old school and they call me, you know, just narrow-minded. But that's okay. At least I have a mind. I think some of these pastors and leaders lost their mind. They can't discipline anybody. They can't talk to anybody. Everybody just offended by everything, you know. But it's okay because it's the altar of sacrifice is where we get it from. It's the only place he wants. We get it from right source, and we can come boldly, and now we can ask anything we need to. There's no petition in our way. Everything comes from there. My wife came from the altar of sacrifice. My kids. How many gave your kids to the Lord when they were born? My kids from the altar of sacrifice. Everything I have, I buy a car, it comes from the altar of sacrifice. God needs to save my car sometimes. My family, I don't want anything that doesn't come from that source. So prayer changes things. Prayer changes people like Nadab and Abihu. You offer strange fire and see what happens. And you pity and coddle strange fires. Act like it's okay. How many know Oak Grove doesn't embrace everything? There's a culture today that says you're okay, I'm okay. We embrace it all. You know, booze it up, drink it up, toke it up. No, that's not old school. That's just the Bible. You don't have a right to just do whatever you want. You can do that in a bar room, but not in the house of God. And so prayer changes things, prayer changes people, and prayer changes the prayers. Prayer. How many know God wants to change you and me in our prayer? So Chrissy's going to come back. I just want to highlight this and then bring us to the altar, because the gate was the place of thanksgiving where Jesus was the door of our salvation. That's where we get it, at the altar of sacrifice. The courtyard was a place of praise where we praise God alone. How many know he alone is worthy of our praise? And he prepares us. And the brass altar is a place of confession. We lay our sins at the feet of Jesus, and we're confident that He can take care of us. Amen? How many know the Lord can turn us from our evil ways? Say, Pastor, why do people get saved and they don't live right? It's because they've never been to the altar of incense. There's nothing there. It's empty. It's shallow. How many know you got to go a little deeper? You got to get a little further. You got to go keep going. Salvation's not the end. How many know it's a beginning? It's the beginning. I said the altar of sacrifice is the beginning of a life with Christ. And then you get a life of service. You go a little further in, right? Now you're praying. And now you're keeping the Holy Spirit. The light of God is in you. You're sharing the gospel with other people. You're sharing the light. You're keeping, you're trusting God for your provision. He is the bread of heaven. And then at the altar of incense, you're making intercession. You're not so selfish anymore. Starting to pray for other people. At the washing of the word, at the brass laver, you're cleansed from unrighteousness because you're grounded in the word of God. Table of showbread is a place of petition. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And may we look to you for all things. The golden candlestick, the place of ministry where we lift up the church and the needs of the ministers around the world. Listen, not everybody's bowed their knee to Baal. Can I tell you, we said there are some churches, but how many know there are probably many more that are still preaching the gospel? Not everybody has succumbed to the pressure of American culture. Listen, I don't care if we fill the house. I want to fill your heart with Jesus.